Well, equity at Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools has been a significant issue with a variety of facets for a long time, and we've been talking about this on the air, and certainly Chapel Hill Carrboro school officials have been talking about it for years. There is a gap when it comes to discipline. There is a gap when it comes to academic achievement, and the district has been dedicated to eliminating or at least mitigating that gap with a new equity plan that they've been working on all year. But the work goes on, and joining us now on the air, and we'll be here for the next 15 to 20 minutes or so, are Sheldon Lanier and Rydell Harrison. Dr. Rydell Harrison is the Interim Assistant Superintendent of Instructional Services, and Sheldon Lanier is the Director of Equity and AVID for the Chapel Hill Carrboro City School District. Thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
So, Dr. Harrison, let me start with you. You're Assistant Superintendent of Instructional Services. You've been in that position since August. How much of your job is devoted to the equity issue?
Well, I would say that I spend a good majority of my time working on equity. And the reason why is because we've been focusing this year on not addressing equity as a separate issue, but really centering our work in equity. So when we are focusing on instruction, we are focusing on equity to make sure that it's not kind of its own little thing sitting off to the side, but it's really an integral part of what we do.
So it's sort of more holistic then.
Absolutely.
How does that play out in the classroom?
Well, I think that what we look for in the classroom is that we want to make sure that our teachers are equipped to use culturally responsive instructional techniques. And then also making sure that our curriculum, our resources, that they reflect the wide variety of cultures across our district. And so simple things like making sure that multiple students' backgrounds are represented, or that we're looking at course materials from a racial equity lens and thinking about how it impacts all students.
How is the district doing as far as that goes right now?
Sure, it's a work in progress. So over the last several years, we have been spending a lot of our time and resources in developing a strong curriculum. And now we are going back and looking through those curriculum resources to see how culturally responsive they are. And we have fantastic teachers across the district, but we know that typically in our teacher prep programs, we don't have a lot of, there's not a lot of focus on culturally responsive instructional techniques. So we're thinking about ways to support our teachers in developing those skills as well.
So I want to turn to Sheldon in just a second, but one more follow-up on that. What would be an example of a culturally unresponsive instructional technique, and how do you go about fixing that?
Sure. Well, so one of the biggest things that we see in research, and then even some work that we've done with students in our district, is that students want teachers who are comfortable in talking about race. And so there's been a lot of recent issues in the news that give some opportunity for teachers to think about ways to bring in conversations about race, talk about equity issues in the classroom. And that helps all of our students to feel represented and to make them see that they have adults who care about these issues as well as just caring about them as students.
Speaking with Dr. Rydell Harrison, you're hearing him now, Interim Assistant Superintendent of Instructional Services. Sheldon Lanier is here as well, Director of Equity for the Chapel Hill Carrboro City School District. And not very many districts have a full-time equity director. How common is that among sort of districts statewide, nationwide?
So it's to my understanding here in the state of North Carolina that I am the only one obviously here in Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools, and there are two others of me, I guess I should say, that I'm aware of in this state. So Wake County Public Schools has an assistant superintendent for equity affairs, and then Guilford County Public Schools has a diversity officer. I'm not familiar with anyone else in this state, and I know that the three of us have actually come together on a couple of occasions. Last school year, we've not been able to actually, you know, gather together this school year, but to basically try to, you know, kind of come together and create our own task force, you know, here so that way we can kind of align our efforts within our districts. In terms of nationwide, Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools is a member of what is called the Minority Student Achievement Network. So there are others of me in other school districts across the country. And so if they are members of MSAN, then we actually come together about four or five times out of the year. So it's kind of cool to, you know, be with people who do the same thing that you do, so that way you can kind of just exhale and kind of, you know, exchange stories, exchange experiences. But then the main thing too is to really, you know, come together and, you know, do research together, come up with strategies together, come up with practices together, and bounce ideas off of each other, be able to bring back to our school districts, and hopefully, you know, be able to make some change in the work around equity.
Tell us about your background. What, how long have you been in Chapel Hill? What brought you to the position, and what is your job like on a daily basis? an ordinary day.
I don't know that there's necessarily an ordinary day in this position, but I was a math teacher, middle school math teacher prior to, and then I was an assistant principal as well before coming to Chapel Hill Carver City Schools, assuming this position. My work and my research through UNC Chapel Hill, I'm trying to finish up my doctorate this year, but my work and my studies and the research that I'm doing there really aligns with the work that I do here in Chapel Hill and the interest around equity, particularly race equity. And so I think that was what, you know, drew me to the position and really wanted to, you know, make a difference. And so it was to my understanding from our previous superintendent that they were, you know, trying this position out. I think there was something that was similar in the district prior to, but they really pieced this together and decided that they wanted to move forward, particularly because, as I was saying earlier, Chapel Hill has been a member of MSAN for quite a while, and they're actually a founding district, and there were other districts that had positions that were structured just like mine.
Speaking with Sheldon Lanier, Equity Director for the Chapel Hill Carver City Schools, also Rydell Harrison, Assistant Superintendent of Instructional Services, talking about equity in the Chapel Hill Carver City School District, which obviously is something that the district is very strongly focused on, but is also a really persistent problem. I know there is an equity plan that is being developed and being worked on, but before we talk about the plan, talk about the problem. There is a discipline gap when it comes to the Chapel Hill Carver City Schools. There is a significant achievement gap that doesn't seem to be going away. What are the numbers? What do we know now about those two gaps?
One of the things that we've seen, you are absolutely correct. So our district, like many districts in our state and across the country, are seeing achievement gaps in our academic achievement with our students based on end of year test and or end of course test. And we see those gaps happening. Usually you have districts who are looking at their gaps between students of color and white students. This year we've been focusing on all of our gaps, so gaps to 100%, which obviously having all of our students 100% college and career ready is our goal. And so what we're finding is that this issue of lower performance for our students of color, for our students with disabilities, our economically disadvantaged students, and then also our English language learners, that in those areas, our students, our gaps to 100 are much wider than with our white and Asian students. What we recognize is that when you see a problem persist over time, you can do interventions on the students as if they're the problem. But what we recognize and what our plan addresses is that we need to look systemically at how we are meeting the needs of our students across the district. And so our plan does a nice job not just focusing on teaching and learning, but thinking about our district from a holistic standpoint about what changes we need to make. We also see disproportionate results in our student discipline. And so overall, as a district, our discipline is not bad, but we still see the percentage of our students who are being referred and getting office discipline referrals is higher with our students of color. And so that's a piece that we are addressing as well this year through some work that we're doing with restorative practices.
And with the discipline gap, it's specifically African-Americans, right? I think the last number, and I've got this written down, and you probably have more updated numbers than this, but 27% of African-American students are sent to the office or office discipline referral over the course of the year versus 10% of Latinos, 6% of whites, 3% of Asians. So that's a really significant gap. Is that growing? Is it shrinking?
So that is a significant gap. It is shrinking. So just as we've been getting to the end of this first quarter, we've been looking at our discipline again from a district standpoint. Our schools, our principals have all developed goals for themselves around reducing our discipline gaps and also reducing our achievement gaps. Now that we're at the end of the first quarter and kind of reflecting on what we did so far, we're seeing overall a decrease in our suspensions or a decrease in our discipline referrals by 46%, which is huge. That's been really impactful for us. Now, we still need to do some work to still reduce that the disproportionality, but I think that I'm pleased to see the change, and also pleased to see the willingness across the district to engage in some practices that folks aren't really used to, and I think restorative practices is going to have a strong impact for us.
And I want to bring Sheldon Lanier back in here because we haven't really talked about the equity plan yet, but one of the four planks of it is to recruit racially sensitive personnel. And that's, I think, particularly important here because so many of the kids who get referred to the office get referred to the office for kind of subjective reasons. And I know the district has been kind of concerned about people who get referred to the office for disrespect or disruption or defiance or categories like that that are very vague and difficult to define. So it becomes a judgment call every single time. So to have people who are sort of aware of subjectivity is particularly important in this case, right?
Right, particularly because of the fact that, as you said, it's very subjective in terms of, you know, who, what is the classification of disrespect or what is the classification of defiance and by whose norm, you know, that classification, you know, falls under. I think it's very important to say, because I know that you wanted to, or you were asking about the equity plan or mentioning the equity plan. I think it's very important to note that equity is a huge priority for our Board of Education. And so I am extremely appreciative of each and every single one of them because of the fact that it is a priority for them, that it makes my job a lot easier because they are in full support of, you know, of all of our equity efforts. And then, of course, with you know, Dr. Harrison being on board as well and really championing the cause and making sure that equity is infused in every single thing that we do and it is infused in every single conversation that we have, it does make it you know, a lot easier to actually, you know, move forward in this work. Our leadership as well in terms of our principals are doing a fantastic job, and we certainly could not do this without them. I will say that in terms of, you know, what you were talking about with culturally literate teachers and culturally aware and making sure that we're trying to recruit personnel that, you know, that have that understanding, I will say that, you know, that is a part of our human resources goal. There are four overarching goals in the equity plan, human resources being one of them. Teaching and learning, as Dr. Harrison alluded to, you know, is also one, is huge. We are also, you know, focusing on what we call healthy and responsible students. And so that would actually, you know, encompass the efforts in making sure that we're reducing the number of office discipline referrals and eliminating that gap altogether in terms of that, and as well as the suspensions. But then also to our culture and our culture within our, you know, our district as a whole, our culture within our schools and our culture within our classrooms.
Speaking with Sheldon Lanier, you just heard him, Director of Equity for Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools, and Dr. Rydell Harrison, Assistant Superintendent of Instructional Services. So let's focus on the equity plan. What is the progress in terms of the development? Has it been rolled out? Is it going to be rolled out at a certain point, and what's going to be included?
You know, it's interesting that you would say, has it been rolled out? Because, you know, one of the things that I have consistently said throughout this process to our Board of Education and to anybody that will listen is that it's going to always be a draft. Because of the fact that you're going to always go back to the plan, you're going to always revise the plan based upon data and constantly looking to see, are you actually making some, you know, some progress in the particular efforts in which, you know, that you have. So I don't know if there's going to necessarily be a formal rollout as much as, like I said, we're just going to constantly
just
be
a steady roll.
Absolutely,
right?
It's just going to be steady progress and steady monitoring, you know, the entire time. In terms of actually building the plan, myself and the equity task force, and I definitely want to make sure that I give the members of the task force a shout out because, you know, truly we could not have done that without them. We have been working on this, I would say, since maybe the summer of 2015. And so we're at a good point now where we really have, again, as I said, the four overarching goals, and then we have action steps, you know, that occur under those goals as well. So we're still in the process of tweaking some things. We're still in the process of adding some things, rewording some things, but the overall overarching structure of the plan exists. And so Dr. Harrison has done a fantastic job of, again, referring to the plan every single time. I was actually in a meeting with him one day, and he said, you could tell I used my plan, and it was tattered and torn. It had been bit in every single corner, it seems like, and I think there were some pages that were probably upside down, and, you know, were not, you know, right side up, but he definitely makes sure that he references it in every single thing that we do within our division, in every single principal's meeting. I'm also, you know, privileged to be a part of those as well, so it is moving. and the wheels are moving, and the plan is actually moving and in progress as we speak.
People who want to read the plan as it currently stands, read more about it, give feedback, get involved in it, is there a website or a place that they can go to get more information?
So we developed a website for the plan, and we've shared that internally with our staff and then also with our families. We'll have that linked to our homepage this week. And excited to just share what the big areas of the plan are. And then there's an opportunity on the website to drill down a little bit deeper and look at some of those action steps. And also, and just to Mr. Lanier's credit and also the credit of the task force, they did a really nice job with laying out what the vision and mission of the plan is, and then also value statements that really lay out why this work is important to us as a district. What I think the plan does successfully is brings this work of equity that, as you mentioned earlier, has been happening for a long time, but really centralizes it and makes it a part of the work that we do on a daily basis. I recently heard one of our community members say at a meeting, if we continue to have race-neutral conversations about education, that we will continue to have the results that we have. And so it's important for us to really center this work around and align it with to instructional excellence. So the plan is pretty much titled Equity Equals Excellence. And so if we are going to live into the level of excellence that our community expects and that we are known for as a district, it is going to be essential that we see some growth in equity.
Speaking with Dr. Rydell Harrison, you just heard him, Sheldon Lanier, Assistant Superintendent and Equity Director, respectively, for Chapel Hill-Carrboro City Schools. And as we start to wrap up this conversation, I want to talk about the achievement gap a little bit more in terms of test scores, because Chapel Hill News just released their story earlier last month, their new report that just came out, which showed that persistent achievement gap. I think it was 31% of African-American students are testing out as college-ready, 40% of Latinos, 79% of Asians, 85% of whites, and that gap is really significant. And that's troubling, I think, to anyone who's been paying attention to the conversation at Chapel Hill-Carrboro City Schools for the last, I mean, this conversation has been going since well before I even arrived in town, and that was years ago. People have been concerned about the achievement gap for a long time at Chapel Hill-Carrboro Schools, and we have people in place. We have an equity director. We've got institutions in place now that are actively working on resolving this issue and closing that gap, but it's persistent. So how much progress are we making? And I guess the pessimistic question, why are we not making more?
Sure. And so this is a difficult question to answer. And so you started off, your first question to me was, how much of my job is focused on this equity work? And this is why so much of my job is focused on equity, because it takes a lot of thinking and it takes a lot of really uncovering what's really happening, looking at what are the root causes. I think a lot of the equity work that we've engaged in as a district in the past has really been focused on making sure that we're providing students with the supports that they need to be successful, which is really what equity, how equity is defined broadly, making sure that each student has what they need. But the important part that really makes equity work change outcomes for students is when you really focus systemically on what are the practices that we're engaged in that that close opportunities for students rather than open them, that that help students or not help students to see themselves as capable, strong learners, and then a real strong focus on what's happening in elementary school, particularly our lower elementary classrooms. And so that's been a significant shift for us as a district this year, thinking more broadly about systemically how we're approaching this work. And one of the things I always say to people is that the best way to close the achievement gap is to never let it open. Mm-hmm. And so really thinking about how we're focusing on what literacy and math instruction looks like in kindergarten through second grade at those early years, and really providing that strong foundation. We also recognize that we can't get this work done completely by ourselves as a district, so really focusing on establishing some really strong community partnerships. And Family Success Alliance is just one of those that stands out. We'll be working with them this summer on kindergarten readiness with some of our preschoolers and really shoring up that program. I'm confident that we'll see results, not just in our student outcomes, but our district outcomes overall and the culture that we're developing for our students.
I got to let you go in just a second. Again, we're speaking with Dr. Rydell Harrison. You just heard him and Sheldon Lanier, but I want to ask, as we wrap up this conversation, both of you work with the sort of overarching broad stroke plan, but you also work with students directly in your in classrooms, and you're seeing how this translates into actual students, actual education. Give us some success stories. Tell us about the progress that you're seeing in Chapel Hill Carver City Schools.
So I'm going to go first because I'm going to steal the one that I know Sheldon wants to talk about.
Yeah, you looked at each other like, oh, I know this one, yeah.
Well, Sheldon mentioned earlier how proud we are of our MSANS affiliation, the Minority Student Achievement Network. And so we had a team of folks from our district who planned a national student conference. And Sheldon was a big part of that planning process. And we brought in kids from all around the country, including kids from our own district, and worked on developing their student voice. How do they become a part of seeing the change, a part of the change that they want to see? Our students walked away from this conference, specifically in this district, with thinking about what changes they want to see. And so they did some work around discipline and thinking about what it is that they want to see differently happening in their schools, particularly in our high schools. I'm really excited. Our principals are open to hearing the information. I'll be meeting with those students really soon and with their student director just for us to do some brainstorming together about changing what our discipline outcomes look like, but also really impacting our school culture. And so I think the big success in that initially is that those students have a voice. And that they are organizing themselves, and that we're open to listening to what they have to say.
And Sheldon, I'll give you the last word.
I'm chuckling because he did steal
it, didn't he? Yeah,
he did. Well, but I would want to use the exact same example though. I mean, and really just to also provide the perspective of what was really exciting for me was, the sense that stopping at high school wasn't enough, that the students wanted to achieve more, that they actually wanted to make a difference, not only here locally, while they're in high school, but they also wanted to make a difference in our larger society. And so if we think about what research says in terms of that our classrooms are a microcosm of our larger society, the fact that our students, did walk away from this conference really having a sense of, wanting to make a difference. That was truly inspiring for me. And that's what also keeps me going, is really wanting to inspire kids to change the world because, as they say, the children are our future. So
how can people stay in connection with you and keep apprised of developments here?
Well, the website, as Dr. Harrison was saying, will definitely go live probably by the end of this week. And so, mm-hmm. There is a tab on that page in which they can actually read on the progress that we're making on that plan and on certain action steps of that plan. So
sounds good. Dr. Rydell Harrison, Sheldon Lanier, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks
thank
for having
you.
Us.